I quit corporate America. I quit that corporate job that was making all that money. And I hopped on a one-way flight July 6th to go travel around the world. So my vision was literally that I wake up every single day doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, while traveling around the world. I didn't know how it was going to look yet, but I had the numbers down. I was like, I'm bringing in $20,000 a month through remote income sources, and they're coming to me every single month, and it's stuff that I really enjoy doing, and I get fired up by doing it. And so I did it.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast, weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
What's up, everyone? On today's episode, we have Brian Lubin. Brian, where in the world am I catching you at right now?
I am in Lisbon, Portugal right now, about to go to Madeira tomorrow, and chilling over here in this side of the world for the last couple months.
We were just jamming a little bit. My brother and I were over in Madeira a month or two ago, and so hearing somebody doing the whole Portugal experience right now has got me real jealous. But I want to honestly start off a lot of this podcast. Like, I just finished up full-time kind of like backpacking, living out of a suitcase for the last two-ish years. Just signed a lease in New York, and like the last 3 weeks have been the most stable living arrangement I've had in quite some time. And you are about 4 months into the full-time backpacking, traveling around the world and living like the nomad dream. I would love to get an understanding in terms of like, how did that even come to be? And then afterwards, I want to just kind of chat a little bit about like the downsides and upsides of traveling full-time that maybe some people don't fully know about.
Sure. So yeah, first off, ain't no way in hell I could do that for 2 years. Not at least not consecutively, because I think I'm already going to go home probably around November. But this was part of my vivid vision. So that's why I tell people, especially entrepreneurs, it's even more important for them to create what's called a vivid vision. It's a book by Cameron Harold. And it's where you write like this detailed vision about what you want your life to look like and have it broken down by categories. The book is designed for businesses, but I also apply it to personal life as well. So I've got one for my business and one for my personal life. And my personal life one has everything to the point of where, you know, what does my house look like? Like, what does my relationship with my girlfriend look like? What does my family look like? Friendships? What does my business look like? What kind of revenue? What does a day look like? How do I feel? So to provide context for me to not just be like here in Portugal randomly while I'm talking to you guys, because the meat and the gold is in the story and in the journey from where I started from to get to here. Like, this is endpoint A in the story. I was working corporate America, man. I graduated college, jumped into corporate, and made it up to the top of a sales organization. And that was my entire identity. And that was what I thought I was going to do the rest of my freaking life, was have my suit and tie on, be clean shaven, and sling enterprise deals. And that's what I thought I was going to be. And I made it to the top of the mountain of corporate America, and they were trying to promote me to VP. So they were trying to fast track me through to manager for 1 year and then go up to VP of the Southeast. And I won the awards and all the shiny stuff. And I realized I made it to the top of a mountain that was the complete wrong mountain to climb, you know? And I was like, whoo, this isn't fulfilling at all.
What made you realize that? Was it just like looking around and seeing who was at the peak with you, or what was the moment that you had there?
So two different answers for that. The first answer is a practical one that I give to people. I tell them to look at your boss's boss. I think that's a huge litmus test that people can use if you're in your W-2 right now. If you look at your boss's boss, like, that's essentially your trajectory in the next 5 years if you're murdering it at the top of your game and putting all of your energy and effort. And so I looked at my senior VP of sales, and it's just like a balding 36-year-old dude with two young daughters that he's not seeing. And he's just a PowerPoint jockey. That's all he's doing all day. He's just on calls and PowerPoints. He's not even doing anything. He's just middle management. And he maybe made $100,000 more than me. I was making like 210. He maybe made 310, 350 with stock options. To do what? You're not even seeing your family. So that was one. Also, I had the pleasure of hitting the top of the company right when COVID hit. So they owed me $70,000 in cash bonuses that they just decided randomly not to pay me the day before it was due. So imagine
how's that happen?
That's a great question. So their justification was, you know, we can't pay these bonuses out while we're firing, you know, 15% of our workforce. Wasn't personal, but, you know, still, I'm glad it happened you know, zoomed out later down the road, when it's in the, when you're in the middle of it, obviously that was terrible and miserable. But that's what opened my eyes. And I was like, okay, if I have this work ethic and I've made it to be the best at something, I might as well take this work ethic and apply it to something for myself. So I started buying real estate. I was 25. And I'm about to be 28 here in December. So yeah. And I had a rental property already. But like, that's what really got me, not just being like, I'm going to invest in real estate, but I'm going to invest to get the hell out of here. I'm done. I'm sick of this. I'm 1 foot out the door. Like, my focus has shifted. And then that's when I really tried to put on the gas.
Did you listen to a lot of Bigger Pockets at the time, if I had to guess, with the Vivid vision board and everything? Is that where that all comes from?
Yeah. So it started with me listening to sales podcasts, because I realized if I listened to an hour a day going to work and an hour going back home from work, and that was like 2 hours a day of podcasts, 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month. So it was like my hack to be really good at sales was I was getting an entire full work week's worth of training without taking any extra time each month, like as opposed to my peers. And so like, that's the podcast hack. But then I realized I could just change those podcasts that were like the sales, like closing techniques, enterprise deals, like getting like buying motives and buying objectives and different players in. I just changed those for real estate podcasts, slipped Bigger Pockets in the fold, and just went down that rabbit hole. So yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
At what point did you end up actually getting that first rental? It sounds like you had that before you quit the job.
Yeah, first rental was 2018. And then the second rental was right before that. So that all happened in March of 2020. So 2018 and then 2019. So was when I bought my two properties. So I have four units.
What was the intention there? Any, like in the beginning, was it just, hey, let me buy one, see what happens? Was it, you know, let me start buying a couple every year and become financially independent, or just kind of figure it out along the way?
Financial freedom wasn't on the radar. It wasn't a goal. I enjoyed my job. You have to like rewind the clock back to where I still thought like that was my path in life, was doing that. But what I did realize was that when I was listening to these podcasts, I heard about these guys and like these mastermind groups that were murdering it. They're multimillionaires. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I wonder what my net worth is, making over $200,000 a year. I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm worth zero. I was like, oh, fun. Because yeah, like I had something, you know, it was maybe like $70,000 just with between stock and different like 401k and stuff like that. Cause I didn't invest. I just blew all my money. I was like making a lot of money, but I was blowing it. And then I started hanging out with the guys that were like multimillionaires. And I was just like, okay, this is what net worth is. Like, I need assets. And then that's when I was just like, okay, I'm getting out of this high rise apartment. Step one was move a buddy in with me to split it. And then I dipped out, bought the first house hack, 5-bed, 4-bath, 1978 construction, just split level, essentially duplexes. And I started that path. And then, so that's what started that whole train rolling.
You're very open about all the numbers that you're sharing, which like I, as a podcast host, I love it. And I feel like as like somebody else who's like running businesses, I personally really appreciate it. Where have you always been this open? Like, have you always been down to kind of like just chat about like salaries and how much you're making, how much you're spending, how much you're saving, all of that stuff?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I don't have an emotional attachment to money. And if anybody is listening and they do, you need to take care of that.
Why is that? Because both for you and what, like, I can understand why somebody doesn't have an emotional attachment to money, but why is it a bad thing? Like, why are you presenting it that way?
Because I think that people are so tight to the chest with it because they think that it's like a zero sum game. And if you're winning and if you're making money, then if you tell your secrets to other people and you tell them how much you're making, then they're not going to like, then you're going to lose somehow and they're going to come and beat you. But the reality is this is a game that we all win. And if we all are like openly talking about what we're doing, and I do the same on my show, on my podcast, I talk to 7 to 10 figure entrepreneurs. So to be on my show, you need to be accredited or up to the billionaire level, which I've had a couple of them. And these guys just walk around because there's no bragging. Like there's no dick swinging with how they present money because they just view it as paper. It's not like there's no ego attached to it. They're just like, hey, here's what my business is generating. And then they're open to feedback and comments from other people. And then so other people can see behind the curtain And when you lead with that level of authenticity and like open kimono, people reciprocate.
Right? I agree with that. I think you're 100% right saying that it's a positive sum game. I think that oftentimes when people get really uncomfortable with that, it's typically like they view it as, in order for me to win, somebody else has to lose. And it's definitely not the case at all. I also think that, like, for my sake, I think that there's a lot of people, depending on how you grew up, if you grew up in an environment where like your family openly talks about money, or maybe your parents own and operate a business and you can kind of see transparently like some of the financials and have an idea in terms of like how owning and operating a business can impact your lifestyle, you kind of get it a little bit more. I think a lot of people, like if your dad was a dentist, right, making good money, maybe your mom was like a secretary or something like that, it's a little bit tougher to see how the world works beyond just a W-2. And when you start hearing a lot of people talking about really openly, like how much money they make, you know, you make X amount per year, I only save Y amount per year, I invest Z amount per year, whatever it is, you start to get a really good glimpse in terms of like, okay, like here's what a normal financial situation looks like. And here's what it could be if I start doing these several different things.
Yeah, I was person B. I was the latter. So I didn't have any financial education in my family. Like my mom did not even know how much my dad made until after their divorce. So he was an air traffic controller. He was like a director. And so he kept all of his money to himself and wouldn't even let anybody else in the family know. So he was like super miserly with it. And so that's something with my kids, like as soon as they're walking and talking and able to comprehend, like I want to be like, hey, if you put your toys away, like here's $5. And then out of that $5, we take one away. This is called taxes. And then we take another two away. This is called savings rate. And then you save 50%. And I get them like churning. Like that's my plan for my future kids, is to openly talk about that stuff.
And that's, I mean, that's also the power of podcasts, right? Because it gives you exposure to, if you might not have in your family, all right, well, you can listen to the bigger pockets guys talk about it all the time. And I mean, yeah, I think for the past, not that much this year, but before that 4 or 5 years, I listened to Bigger Pockets all the time. And there's a huge, huge motivation behind real estate and business. So I am definitely thankful for them. And, you know, I think that's our goal too here, is to give information to everyone else. And I'm assuming yours as well with your podcast. So definitely appreciate everyone being, being open there. On the side of kind of the vivid vision, that is not something I've really done, but I've heard kind of some of the benefits of people that have done it. Could you maybe kind of dive into what that actually looks like when you first sat down and did it? And I don't know, maybe talk about yours specifically, or how someone might be able to come up with their own version of a vivid vision.
Absolutely. So to kind of say where the vision ended up, so I can provide context for you guys knowing that it actually works. What I did was, when I did that first vision, after all that happened to me, I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to write this all down, what I want my life to look like in 3 years. I accomplished the 3-year vision in 1.2 years. So then a year and some change after that, like this last March is when I quit corporate America. I quit that corporate job that was making all that money. And I hopped on a one-way flight July 6th to go travel around the world. And that was in my vision. So my vision was literally that I wake up every single day doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, while traveling around the world. And my time is my own. Like, I control everything. I had written down what my mornings look like. I had what my business looked like. And I said, I didn't know how it was going to look yet, but I had the numbers down. I was like, I'm bringing in $20,000 a month through remote income sources. And they're coming to me every single month. And it's stuff that I really enjoy doing. And I get fired up by doing it. And I know that this sounds woo-woo to some people that are listening that maybe haven't been exposed to stuff like this. But a practical explanation to bring it back down to earth a little bit would be like, if you're getting in a car and you're in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're trying to head out to California, if you don't have your GPS set and you're just winging it, like you may be trying to go to San Diego, but you're going to end up in freaking Oregon. Like, there's no way, and it's going to take you 10 times longer to get there because you're going to screw up and mess up along the way. But if you have the GPS set, you know what the end destination is, it's going to be a beeline to take you the best way. You'll avoid traffic and you'll be able to get there faster and more efficiently. So that was my vision. And the reason I did it and the reason that I believe in it so powerfully isn't because not only did I do it, but every single solitary mentor that I've ever had and every person I've talked to, that's 7, 8, 9, 10 figure, all says that same exact thing. And so I personally shut up and listen when people that are better than me and are smarter than me and are further along than me tell me something, especially repeatedly, and it's a pattern. I just listen. And so I was like, this seems super stupid to me. I was like, this is really up in the air. It's really woo-woo, but I'm going to do it because these guys are worth $50 million and I'm not. And so I did it, and I did the vision board. I did the affirmations. I did the visualization. I did the vision. I wrote it out. And literally, man, I can tell you, like, even to the dollar signs, like, it hit exactly like I thought it would. But the way that I got there was not how I thought I'd get there.
How often after you wrote it down, let's say it took like a day or maybe a week to go and like really put it all together, how often would you go and reference it afterwards? Is it like an everyday thing? Is it sitting on your desk? Is it, you got it on your screensaver now?
So yeah, I literally have it like, you can't, so that's kind of like my makeshift like vision thing.
Cool.
So I had it on my phone lock screen, and I had like a big like framed picture of it in my office. So
can you read it out? Is that what you read up before? Do you have like specific, like, what's the format look like?
This is my new one. So like, this is just like on Canva. Like, there's a YouTube video by Matt Aitchison where it's like how to create like your vision board for your phone screen. I think it's like literally like if you type in like Maddie A vision board, that will bring up. But you mean like the format of the original vision that I wrote?
Yeah, or how, like, what does it look like on your phone? Is it like personal kind of vision? And then, because you mentioned there's financial goals in there too with numbers, or?
Yeah. So right now what I have, I'm in the process right now of building an 8-figure media company. And part of that is going to be this community mastermind that I'm building right now to help people exit their corporate job and go into entrepreneurship. And so I literally have, like, it's difficult to show y'all on the, because of the glare on the screen, but I've got a Photoshopped Facebook group that has like Action Academy, Dream Life Designer, Inner Circle, and it has like 700 members in it. And so that's one thing. I've got a Buzzsprout, which is my hosting platform for my podcast. I have a Photoshop thing of the Action Academy, like your dashboard where you see your downloads, and it says 1 million downloads this month. And so I've got that. And then I've got a picture of the dream house that me and my girlfriend want. And it's not anything too extravagant. It's like maybe like a $2.2-3 million place with a nice pool and like an entertaining area in the back. And so I've got like this picture of like the house, like what the pool would look like an idea. And then I've got all the people that are chilling there. And then I've got a picture of me with like a little sunset in the back on a computer, sipping wine on a beach, because I want to do like, I want to create all my business around something that fires me up. So, and that's just part of it. But I'm also taking massive action. You can't just do that and then not do anything with it. But what happens is, like, whatever you think you want to do, it's going to be 10 times harder than you think it is. And it's going to take longer than you think it will. So if you have that there and you have like that why, and it's reinforced, the stronger the why is, the more it's going to suck less whenever shit hits the fan. And then you're not going to miss a beat, and you're going to keep putting the podcast out, keep making the content, keep investing in that fund, like keep buying the real estate, because it's not even going to be a second thought.
Yeah. I've got like so many points on this that I want to bring up. I'll try to limit it to just like three quick comments and see if you agree or disagree with a lot of these. The first is, I really like this quote from James Clear. James Clear, obviously the big self-help guy with all the habits and that kind of stuff. But he has a really good quote where it says, winners and losers have the same goal, right? And what he, yeah, what he means by that is, like, everyone wants to win. Fact, yeah, is, everyone wants to win. There's a big difference though between the people who do win and the people who don't win. And that's essentially the actions that they put in and the process that they take to go and get there, right? And so I think when I also set a lot of goals for myself, I like to manifest them. I like to, like, I've never done any of the vivid vision stuff, but like, I will frequently go back to my goals and say, is this something I'm working on? Yes. And if it is, great. What am I doing literally today to get me closer to that goal? And yeah, I think the action piece is really important there. The second thing that I was going to say is, I think it's something that you kind of like wrote down there where, like, if you asked me to describe my dream house to you right now, I guarantee you, I would not be able to do it at all. I would be like, probably a pool. Like, I don't know, like,
yeah,
basketball court sounds pretty dope. But if you showed me, like, you know, 100 different houses on Zillow, and the, you know, they range in price ranges from whatever, and they're in all different areas of the country, I can very confidently probably say that I can tell you that like, hey, these 3 to 5 are my favorite and I really like those. And I think the why I bring up this example is because for me personally, I always found that I was really bad at setting like visions or goals based on just like arbitrary things. Like I want to go and do XYZ. But what I was always really good at doing was finding like 3 to 5 individuals where I'm like, fuck, I really like their life, or I really like the way that they run their out and operate their businesses. And so like, not, I'm not necessarily going to try to do like, you know, XYZ, I'm going to try to do whatever I think would make me more like this person. And I think there's good and bad things to that, because I think like that to me makes it really articulate and really clear. I think that the negative side of that is that you really don't see a lot of the trade-offs that go into like picking that person and like wanting to kind of design your lifestyle after them. And so like, for example, I think there's a whole thing around like Tiger Woods, best golfer to ever live, right? But like the fact is like his dad abused the shit out of him as a kid. And like he has like serious trauma with all of that. He has like a super unhealthy relationship. You know, when he had divorced with his wife, he like just got a whole like full body surgery. I think it was from drunk driving. I might have the details on that story slightly wrong though. And so you're like, cool, I want to be the world's best golfer. I want to be Tiger Woods. But like, do you really want all of the like extra baggage that comes with it? And so I think when you're like kind of designing all of this stuff, I think what's really helpful to do to like sum up this long rant is, one, don't only pick the goals, pick the actions too. And then two, when you do pick the goals and you say like, cool, I want to go and be more like, you know, Brandon Turner, and I want to have like hundreds of millions of dollars in mobile home parks and all of that stuff. Recognize what you are willing to give up to go and get that, right? It's like, okay, if I want to have $1 billion in real estate, I'm okay having like kind of a shitty family life. Like it's not going to be the best in the world and I'll work at it, but like, I'm not going to be the dad who's home for dinner every night, just the facts. And I think that where a lot of people get like things mixed up is they think that they can have it all and everybody wants to have it all and everyone works really hard. But the fact is, I think you just have to like pick the things that you're okay either sucking at or giving up to sometimes accomplish your goals.
Yeah. And dude, I completely agree with everything you just said. You're just spitting fire over here. Like we need an extinguisher. Like I feel burned, bro. Like what the hell? The hell was that?
Yeah.
That
I don't know. I know. No,
that's awesome.
I'm super into the self-helpy world. I think about this stuff a lot.
Everyone thinks it's woo-woo until you find out anyone that's got hundreds of millions of dollars does it.
Yeah. Like, oh, So I'm happy doing the woo-woo stuff now. Yeah. So a couple points to bring up after what you just said. So two things in particular. So one is like, I know Brandon, like I'm friends with Brandon Turner and he was on my podcast too. And he designs his goals around his lifestyle. Now he's the polar opposite of the example that you gave where you were just giving random examples, but like he designed his goals around his lifestyle and how he wanted to feel and how he wanted to operate. So when he created his vivid vision, he wrote like, I want to be super present with my family. Like I want to be there. I want to be the best dad ever. I want to have my employees go and surf on a Tuesday or on a Thursday. And we're all hanging out. And so he purposely designed his business around his life, not designed his life around his business.
Yeah.
So I think that's super important. And then another thing that you said that I absolutely agree with and that people need to shift their focus with, and this one mental shift will literally be a make or break between if you're not successful right now, it will make you successful, is the point that you need to remove your emotional attachment and your view of success and identity of achievement to the end result of a goal. And instead you need to remove it from there and you need to place it on the accomplishment of the action that moves you towards the goal. So like the vision is awesome and the vision is cool, but I don't feel an emotional attachment to the end result of said vision. I feel an emotional attachment to, did I do what I needed to do to move the ball forward today? Like, did I do the podcast that I needed to do today? Did I do the reach outs? Did I do the actions that it took for me to get there? A perfect example of this, again, in the real world was Kobe Bryant. He didn't care about the championships. He cared about the practices. So he was going to practice every single day. Like that's what he cared about, was shots up, shots in the net. Like that's the thing that he cared about, was he cared about the repetition and the work. And then the end result just happened to be the championship that was everyone's goal. So when you shift your focus from the end result and that being success to the actions, that's a better game to play, because the craziest thing that you both know to be true, but maybe people that are listening to this don't know to be true yet, is whatever goal that you set, even if it's super lofty to you right now, say like $50 million, I know a lot of people that are at that level. And when you hit the $50 million level, and you've reached that end goal, the only thing you think about is, shit, I'm 50 away from 100.
Well, also your entire environment changes too, right? So it's like, I think when you're like, I'm glad you picked up the sports example with Kobe, because like when you're a no-name basketball player and like you're just entering the league, right? Like you're surrounded by a bunch of rookies and you're surrounded by a bunch of other people who like aren't necessarily the stars of their game. But then like when you get to be Kobe level, great. Now you're comparing yourself to Jordan, to LeBron, to Wade, whatever. Like you have bigger role models, and the same applies in business too. Great. Yep. Like you have $50 million. I can guarantee you anybody who has $50 million does not hang around with a bunch of people who like candidly just like are broke or like just don't have a lot of money.
No.
Like, I mean, Gio's laughing right now, but I'm like, the exception to this is like Mark Wahlberg, who like gets super famous and successful and brings up all of his friends from home to like hang around and like literally be his entourage and hang around with him. Like that's probably the exception, and like celebrities and, you know, some athletes like that. But like in the world of business, I am a huge believer that like who you surround yourself with dictates the success and the outcomes of a lot of things in your life. And the fact is that you probably would have to go and be like starting to surround yourself with people who are at a higher level, or like you're bringing up other people that are around you as well.
Yeah.
I do think the other side to kind of setting some of those goals, which I always find is interesting. I don't remember who someone talks about it a lot, or there's a couple different books in terms of the potential issue of setting very specific milestones and goals that are, you know, call it numerical based, or, hey, I want to hit X amount, which I think kind of goes back to Brian, to your point of it kind of all falls back into the execution, because no one hits whatever their goal is and is like, oh yeah, all right, now I'm done. I just spent the last 30 years working, but now I'm going to surf and enjoy my time. It's like, no, anyone, I think it's Brendan's phrase, it's like anyone that's able to retire early is never someone that does.
Also,
because it doesn't go hand in hand.
On that note too, like you want to read the saddest, this is my version of the saddest stories ever. The saddest stories aren't the people who like lost it all. In my opinion, the saddest stories are the people, if you go and read like the fire subreddit, not even the fat fire, just the fire.
I hate it, bro. Oh my God,
it's literally,
they come at me. Let's fight them.
I was going to say, it's quite literally stories of people going, and fire, if anyone listening that doesn't know it, is financially independent, retire early. And the whole thesis here is like, what is it? Like a 6% rule or something like that?
4%.
The 4% rule. Okay. So it's something along the lines of like, you can be able to live off of 4% of whatever you have invested, and you pull it out of like your brokerage account every year. And like, that's the money it is, right? So you have $1 million in your brokerage account. You can comfortably, in air quotes, like pull out 4% and live off of that. And you have like these absurd stories in here of like people basically talking about how they nickel and dimed and like pretty much burnt 10 years of their life to go and get like $700,000-$800,000 or something like that in a brokerage account. And like, they're like, I never ate out for 10 years straight. And like, you know, my kids couldn't see a movie, but that's okay, because like now we are living on $35,000 a year and I'm home all the time with them. And like, you know, we make ends meet. Like I still cook home and like they're still eating beans for half of their meals, but like it's fine because like I don't have to work anymore. And in my opinion, that is just like the saddest existence of reality of all time. I don't really know how we got to this point, but I'm mostly just shitting all over the fire community.
Dude, so it's hilarious because like technically, like I'm what they're trying to accomplish, right? Like we are what they're trying to accomplish, but like they don't realize it. So whenever you are like posting, hey, you know, like, and I posted like in a fire group, I was like, hey, what's up guys? Like 27, you know, left my corporate job. I'm traveling around the world. Like I did what you guys are trying to do. And they go, you're not fire. You're still making income. And I was like, bro, I will throat punch you. Like, are you in my DMs giving me another acronym of what I actually am, as opposed to financially independent, retired early, which is what FIRE stands for. So here's a key point that I have that a lot of people, like we're to chapter one of the book of like financial independence. Like passive income is awesome. Passive income is sexy, but like, that's not really the goal for me. And I feel like it's not the goal for most people, because you said a great point where you said the people that are able to retire at 30 years old are the ones that are the least likely to retire. Cause if you made it to this point, like, you're a baller. I'm sorry. Like, you've got something going in life and business. So here's my thing. We're not meant to just lay on a beach and do nothing. Like, we're meant to do something. So the goal is to get enough passive income to do passionate income. So for me, that's podcasting. that for me, that's creating spending. Like I'm in Portugal right now. I'm spending like 40 to 50 hours a week still like growing my business and like working on my media company, working on Action Academy Media and doing all of that and growing that because I'm super passionate about it. And it fires me up and it doesn't feel like work anymore. That's the kicker. That's what you want to do. And if you don't want to travel around the world, like I don't give a shit. That's okay. That's for me. That's what I want to do. And if you want to create a candle making company and move to Breckenridge, Colorado to make your own custom candles, that's hell yeah. Like, I want you to leave your crappy job to go do that. Let's just get you enough passive income to where your wife doesn't yell at you and you're not feeling scarcity so that you can go pursue the thing that you're actually fired up about. That's the goal.
You just hit a big nerve for me because I've been in Breck the last 2 years and my parents
own a Breck rocks.
And my parents own a candle making company.
No, so. They don't.
No, they do. They bought one in like 10 years.
Are you serious?
Running it since, yeah. But anyway, just got really relatable for me really quick in that example.
What the hell?
with traveling and now spending so much time on the passion income, which I think is a great way to put it, obviously not everything is fun, right? Like sometimes I'm assuming you probably don't want to be editing the 50th podcast or, you know, some of the stuff gets really boring and tedious no matter how much you like it. Is there any tips or tricks you found while maintaining a full kind of travel schedule and work schedule? And I think you're traveling with your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you guys are still going out and doing things.
Mm-hmm.
How are you managing that from a time and work perspective?
So here's the coolest thing about financial freedom, right? And like making money, making revenue, is you can buy your time back. So taking like stock and people mess up at this because like I said, like I interview a lot of entrepreneurs too. And what they do is they leave that W-2 job and then they jump into their own thing. And all of a sudden they're working even more hours than they were for their W-2.
They bought themselves a W-2
another, with more risk. They bought themselves another job. So there's three levels of freedom that we should all aspire to get to. So you have financial freedom, which is what we've talked about, what this podcast is about. Then you get up to personal freedom. So you have your finances set, but now you also have control of schedule. So you don't have to do anything. Like you have full autonomy over what you do, when you do it, and with who you do it with. And then so once you hit the personal freedom, then you get up to philosophical freedom, to where now you have so much freaking free time and so much freaking money that you're starting to let your mind wander to actually ask the bigger questions of life, which is like, why am I here? What impact do I want to create? How do I want to provide for my next five generations? Like, what good can I provide to the world so that when I'm dead and people aren't remembering me anymore, I left the world a better place than when I started it. And so a lot of people get stuck at kind of that personal level. But to answer your question, literally what I do is I've got assistants. I especially hire virtual assistants and I have them delegated out. Like I write down anything that I particularly hate. And then I make sure to make a system and a workflow for that to delegate that out. So I love doing interviews. I hate the editing. So I delegate out the editing and kind of the post-production stuff like that. I get a run by before it posts, but then that's all systematized. And that's the key. That's what you have to do. You have to buy your time back. And that's also why I hire coaches and mentors. I spent $36,000 last year on coaches and mastermind and all that stuff because it's a cheat code. Like it literally will accelerate everything that you want to do and it cuts your learning curve in half, if not more.
Probably gonna ask the same question. Can you dive into that 36,000? Yeah. Like, was it worth it? What did you spend it on?
Yeah.
Would you do it again? Would you recommend other people doing it? Like, to that part's probably what sticks out to me the most right now, because that sounds a bit wild. Because I've never really gone down the coaching route or anything like that before.
Yeah. So I mean, don't start with that, like start smaller. But then once you see the ROI on it, then it's just a no-brainer. Just like the same idea. So in this actually applies like literally with what I'm saying, like theoretically. So I just hired a guy to teach me, like I just paid for his online course. It was like, I think like $1,200. And his course is literally like how to create courses. And this all ties in beautifully because he's also in a mastermind group with me. GoBundance, which is you have to be accredited to be in GoBundance. And so he was in that group and the relationship started organically because he was just like, hey guys, you know, I'm like, I'm 30 years old. I'm making like $400,000 a month in my online courses, and I would need help with the real estate investing part. And I was like, you, my friend, are my number one person in life. Let me pay you for your knowledge. And he goes, oh, well, I made a course on how I did it. And this is the freaking best online course I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, it's too much information.
Honestly, so, honestly, it's good that the course on how to make courses is a good course.
Thank God, right? It's like Inception. It's like a course within a course within a course. And so, like, so now I can cut the learning curve on that. And in that, it's teaching about Facebook ads and like our what's called the ROAS. It's like return on advertising spend, to where every dollar that he spends in Facebook advertising yields him $6. So he has a 6x ROAS for his advertising campaign. So now for him, he's just like, I can't spend enough money on ads, because the more money I spend, like the more, the better return I get. So he's like, I want to spend $50,000-$100,000 a month on ads, because it's better for me. Same thing applies with mastermind, with coaching, with all of that, because what you do is you are buying your time back. Because if I wouldn't have, I literally hired like a mindset coach to get me to the point where I could leave the job and figure out how the heck to accomplish that vivid vision. So I paid, I think it was like $6,000. That was six of the 36 to be able to hire him. And he would walk me through like kind of like some limiting beliefs I had, relationships I had with money, like financial roadblocks in my head, stuff like that. And got me to think like more bigger picture. And ironically, it was the guy that coached Brandon Turner. So Brandon's the one that introduced me to this guy. And so I was just like, well, it worked for him. I'm going to do it. And he's the one that coached me through everything. So it was my 5-year goal to travel, and I did it in 6 months. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, so I just bought 4.5 years of my time back for $6,000.
Yeah.
So hopefully that landed the plane for people listening. But I would not start like throwing the bank out. What I would do is like severely vet, because there's a bunch of bad operators in the space and you don't want to get your money conned from you. What I would do is go to your mentors or go to whoever is where you want to be and ask them specifically who they used and what they did, and then use that. So references, just like contractors in real estate. You're not just going to do it cold. Like, you need a warm introduction.
Two potentially more affordable ways to maybe also get started as well for people listening is, one, for myself personally, I journal pretty often. And I think when you were chatting about
that's like, awesome,
coaching and all of that kind of stuff, for me personally, like I just don't spend a lot of time prior to journaling, like self-reflecting and like thinking, why am I doing this? Where's my time and energy going? Do I want it to be going there? Where would it be going otherwise? Where would I be if I didn't think this way? Like asking like these questions, and it almost seems redundant in some way, because like you keep on asking why until you kind of get to the crux of it. And personally, I've had this like a lot of like, I don't really want to use the word breakthrough, but like more so just realizations on like why I think a certain way. And like, there's great prompts around like, what is the number one thing that's holding me back from where I want to be today in this category of my life? And like spending 30 minutes journaling on that, you get to some pretty good answers. And I think it's a really good way to just like put, like literally put pen to paper and like learn more about yourself. So that's obviously the most affordable way, in my opinion. The second thing for people listening to this right now, who like maybe they're, because we do have a pretty young audience and a lot of them are like fresh out of school, maybe don't want to like think about spending all of this money on themselves right away.
For sure.
Is like literally what we're doing right now. This is going to be, I think, our 98th episode or something like that. And like, we still spend money on like the post-production side of this and all of that. But it does two things. One, it creates an asset, which can kind of like make yourself more marketable. And in some ways, like Gio and I have had a great amount of success, whether it's through deals or connections or learnings through this podcast. But more so like, if you want to go and learn from somebody who makes courses, like 2 episodes ago at this point, we had on Jack Rains, who is like growing up a pretty big newsletter business. And like, it's great. He's selling a $550 course. I would also say that you could probably get most of the knowledge, maybe not most of it, go still buy Jack's course, but like you can get a lot of it from like the podcast interview that we had with him in terms of like how he's breaking it down and how he's using it. Same thing, like our buddy Tom, who runs like a e-commerce business, came on and gave us like the whole blueprint for how he uses influencers and like how he sets up all of that kind of stuff, like probably 40 or 50 episodes ago. So like, you can go through and learn a lot and spend like these hour-long times if you pitch it as more of like, hey, here's an opportunity where I can make content for you. Like, that's literally how this podcast got set up. I was like, listen, if anybody wants to chop it up and get some more clips to promote their personal brand, come on the show and we'll chat about it and we'll send you clips afterwards. And so I do think that there's a lot of ways to go and like do that self-development game without necessarily needing a ton of cash. But I do agree with you that like it's usually almost always worth the investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm about to drop a grand with Jack just to sponsor his newsletter. So yeah, nice. Perfect example. He's one of my boys.
Somebody had a good tweet where it was basically, rather than thinking like, hey, how much is this worth to me? How much can I go and spend on this? Like, how much am I willing to spend to be at the opposite of it? So the example that they used in the tweet, I think, was like, if you're going to complain about a $200 a month gym membership, like that's $2,400 a year. Would you be willing to go and pay $2,400 a year or getting paid $2,400 a year to have lower energy and like not as great of a physique and be like somewhat out of shape, right? Yeah. Using like the inverse of that. So like same thing for you. Like if you're trying to go to this media business, would you be willing to pay the $1,200 a year to like not have all of the or get paid $1,200 a year to not have all of the information you need to have the most success in this business? Like looking at it from the inverse, it can be a somewhat dangerous game because you can use that to justify pretty much anything, but I do think it's a good way to like sometimes inverse it.
Yeah. And let me reel it back a little bit, because I'm used to talking to like super like high level people that are like very far in the investing game. So we're talking about like $36,000, just so you guys know, like you do not need that to get started. Like this is year like five in my journey, and the conversations that we're having are like further down. There's absolutely ways for you to start this for free, and you should start it for free. And the best way for you to do that is getting the mentor, right? So if you do what we talked about today to like kind of wrap all everything together, if you get the vision and you're super clear about where you want to go and super clear about how you want to get there, then that will make the niche way down about the person that you want to talk, like that you want to get mentorship from. Because if you're just like, I want to get mentorship from an entrepreneur that's successful, that's not good enough. There's too many of them. But then if you can really narrow it down, like Connor was talking about before, like for me, it would be like Ed Milet. Like he is the dude that is doing it the right way. Like he's a faith-based guy. He really has fulfillment with his achievement. So what I'm doing is like, I'm finding different ways to engage with Ed and find a way to be in his world and provide a specific value to him. So if you are listening to this and you're just now starting on your journey, what I would say is be really specific about what you want, find the specific person or people that are doing what that thing is, and then really focus on finding a way to provide a specific value to that person for free. Now you're going to have to pay with your time because you don't have money, but the more specific you are, the better chance that they are going to have of helping you. So this would be if it's a real estate investor and it's a huge real estate investor and you're like, okay, I know you're looking for these multifamily deals. Like, hey, let me cold call for you. Like, let me put up your picket signs. Let me help you in some really hyper specific way. What you don't want to do is you don't want to message these people and say, hey, I'd love to learn from you. I'll work for you for free. What can I do? Like, they're not going to reply to you because they have no idea what you're good at.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to give them a job and have them be like, all right, well, you know, let me build out this whole process for you, et cetera, right?
People have done that with me now even. And I'm just like, I don't even know what you're good at. Like, how would I know what to tell you I need help with? Are you a good copywriter? Are you a good on the phones? Like, are you good with community? I don't know. So an example of this would be, I found my first mentor was a dude that was like $100 million guy. And this is back when I was broke and I had nothing. And I was worth like literally zero. And I saw that he had like a specific thing about his book of where he's launching a book. And I happen to know somebody that helps with that. And I was able to introduce the two together. And I said, hey, David, like, what's up? My name's Brian. You don't know me, but, you know, huge fan. Like, I love everything that you're doing. I'd love to be in your world. Really quick. You don't have to do anything for me, but like, I want to make this introduction with this person. I think they would really help you with what you're trying to do. Would you be open to that? And then like, done, you know? So the more specific, the better. And that's the way that you can do it for free. Don't think that you need to do what I just was talking about. Just know that like later down the path, like use the same principles. behind it. You don't need to be spending all this money to do it. Like, that's just an accelerant later down the road.
It's also probably the best time ever in history to be able to do anything like this, right? Like, if you if you don't even know where to look for these people, right? You have Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and podcasts. At least, like, personally for me, that's how I've found most of the people I would look up to, or that I want to emulate, or that I, you know, want to copy. And you just start engaging with them, right? Hey, you find a bigger pockets if you're in real estate. Start learning who they are. Follow them on Twitter. Start, you know, messaging them. Start engaging with them. Find podcasts. Find YouTube people you watch and comment on their videos. And I mean, it's crazy how close you can make a connection with someone that would have never been in your realm. If you were a broke 17-year-old 100 years ago, at no point would you be in the situation, I don't think the three of us have ever been, you know, doing interviews with billionaires, right? That's
right,
unimaginable.
And that's a whole other thing. That's why I created my show, just like you guys probably did this. I didn't do this to create a business around it. It just happened by default because I was providing value. I did it to be able to have a reason to be valuable for these people, so that I have a reason to talk to them and they have a reason to talk to me. So now I can, so like, here's the example. If you guys read a book that you love and you're like, wow, this really changed my life. Like, you just read that book and it was awesome. But now it's to the point where, like, for us, we can read a business book and we're like, wow, this was really awesome. I'm going to email the author and have him on the show for an hour. You know, and then what an advantage that gives you. So then content is like the ultimate thing. So like, there's three different things that you can leverage in life, and that's content, community, and capital. So if you can figure out how to do all three, like, you're off to the races. Like, there is no stopping you.
And technology, four things.
Technology, computers, content, community, capital, and computers, brah.
Oh yeah.
C's.
All the C's. All right, I want to wrap up with just one question that has less on the business side, less on the self-dev side, just more curious your take, because we're kind of jamming about it earlier, and I think maybe it would be fun to bring full circle. You've been traveling full-time now 4 months. How many countries, cities have you been in that four-month time? Any rough ballpark?
11, 12.
Okay. Countries, different countries?
Yeah, man, we've been traveling like about every week to 10 days. Like, it's been wild.
So it's funny. That's because it's a lot.
It's a lot.
I was going to say, it's funny because everyone sees the nomad life and it looks so sexy. And I think, you know, finishing it up myself, like, the last 2 years, it's been like the longest I was actually in one spot would be like 3 months back when Gio and I were in Austin last fall. Sure. And then like the shortest time would be like, you know, a day or 2 days or whatever. And so like kind of everywhere in between, but I definitely noticed that like there were some interesting upsides and downsides that maybe a lot of people don't think about. And I can say mine in a second because I made a little list here, but I would love to maybe know from your standpoint, upsides and downsides, maybe with the exception of the obvious things that people might not consider before, like jumping out, living out of a suitcase and going full time.
Yeah, well, for the upside is like the adventure, obviously, and being able to expose yourself to new people and new cultures. Like, that's kind of the traditional answer. For me, it's more so about being in like what's called like a peak state from Tony Robbins. Like, so he talks about being in an environment that really inspires you and fires you up. And then that's really where creativity comes from. So this is where my new vision was born. Like, beneath, like, I was sitting by a freaking waterfall in Austria and I wrote out the 9-page vision. So it's just like, for me, like, the inspiration of like the where I'm at, and it slows time down a lot because of the exposure to everything. It's always new. So you notice things more because you have to slow down because there is no monotony to it. And so it's been super awesome. But like, when it comes to cons, it's just like, you have no routine. Like, I'm a guy that loves going to the gym. I go to the gym 5-6 days a week. And it's like very difficult to do that out here. It's difficult to keep a diet together. You have no close friendships. Also, like, when I'm going to meet people, like, I'm like, is that really worth it? Really, you know, meeting people here or not really, because I'm here for like a week. I'm never going to see this person again. Like, I went out on Friday with this couple that I met that just got engaged, and like, we had a great time. They live in freaking Phoenix, but like, am I ever going to really talk to them ever again? Probably not. Yeah. So it's just like,
Yeah.
So there's been pros and cons to it, but Yeah, I'm done with it probably in November. And then we'll see. Like, we're going to travel the rest of our lives, but probably in spurts, you know?
Yeah, I think I relate to a lot of that and definitely agree with everything you said. I think the only to add a few more things on there, like specifically over the 2-year time, what I realized, like, a lot of the downsides also have upsides looking at it now. Like, one, you can't buy anything. If you're living out of a suitcase, you can't buy new shirts.
And it
you have to buy new shirts because you lose everything.
You literally throw stuff away because you're like, this is too much to carry. Like, I'm throwing away these pairs of pants. I haven't worn them in 2 months.
But I will say, and I've noticed it more so in the last 3 weeks as I've been like furnishing this apartment now, is I think it's led to like a severe lack of materialism on my front, where like I genuinely think buying more shit is going to make me less happy and I don't want to buy more stuff. I don't have any problem at all spending on like concerts, food, drink, anything that's consumable that I don't have to like take care of. But the idea of like buying new stuff is almost frustrating to some degree now. The only other upside thing that I would just piggyback on with you that I think I've really been enjoying New York is that when traveling, you meet a ton of people, and I think you get really good at the skill of meeting new people, which is definitely an important skill. And I think something that like I've gotten a lot better in the last 2 years. But you definitely still have a lot of shallow relationships. And at some point, I just don't necessarily care about, you know, hey, where do you work? Oh, what are you for fun? Oh, where are you from? Oh, like what are you doing here? Oh, how long are you traveling for? Like, I don't care about those questions anymore. And I just wanted something deeper. And I feel like being here in New York and seeing a lot of friends who have 6-7 years of like relationships with, like, you just pick right back up where you left off. That's always been really like helpful for me too.
I would say the one thing kind of on the social aspect is, it is really interesting when you meet people traveling and then you still maintain like the communication there. And then you do bump into them like a year later when you're back in the country or in other countries. I feel like I have a separate network of people now that travel all the time. And like, I've run into them in other places, which I think is kind of funny, but no, you definitely don't generate the as close of a relationship to them. Definitely fair point.
Well, it becomes a little bit more difficult, like when you get to like different levels of like business, like, cause I've met like 2 dudes that are pretty serious entrepreneurs, and it's not like a business or money thing. It's just a commonality thing to where, like Connor was talking about, it's like, you can actually have a conversation. You're like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? Oh my God. Like, we read the same books. We have the same philosophies. Like, what do you think about this? Like, do you find happiness in this? Like, do you find fulfillment here? What about this? How do you delegate this part of your business? And it's like, it becomes like what you like actually like talk and think about 24/7, especially if you're building your own business. And so whenever you're meeting people like that, it's super awesome.
Brian, where can people find you online? Twitter, follow what you're doing, find some cool travel photos. Where are you at?
For sure. Over on Twitter, it's at the Action Pod. Instagram is Brian Lubin. But if you really want to follow what I'm doing in the most like pure sense, the podcast, my show is Action Academy Podcast. I do 5 episodes a week, and I interview, like I said, mostly 8, 9, and 10 figure entrepreneurs. And I ask them questions about how they did it. So while we may talk about a little bit higher level strategies like we discussed today, we also break it down and ask them like, hey, you're super successful here now. What made you this? And like, what character traits and things in your youth and things in your upbringing created this right now? What habits did you form? And we focus on those a lot. So if you guys enjoyed this episode today and you're still listening to us 3 talk at this point, you kind of like what we're talking about. So check out the show. It's my number one passion in life is growing that show. So Action Academy Podcast is where you'll find me.
I love it. We'll link to it in the show notes for anyone that's interested. Definitely go check it out. Thanks again for coming on, Brian.
Thanks for having me, guys.
If you thought today's episode was awesome, we would love it if you would leave a 5-star review on the podcast, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It makes a huge difference and lets us get cooler and cooler guests for future episodes.